Now, seven countries, 4,000 miles, a minefield and a war zone. That's the journey that Dennis Robinson is about to make by scooter. Dennis joins me now from our studio in Carmarthen. Dennis, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Jamie.
Why? Why, Dennis, of all the things to take to Africa, why not go on a more suitable form of transport? A scooter, Dennis. Think of all the chafing.
Well, it depends how you classify suitable. The beauty of the Honda C90, which strictly speaking is a lightweight motorcycle, not a scooter, although we generally call them scooters, is that it's an automatic clutch, very easy to ride, light. Anybody out in Gambia can actually ride them.
OK, so you're preparing the journey now. You toddle out in March and you're not on your own. You've got some company with you.
Yes, I have. In fact, this year I have the biggest trip ever going. It's my fourth trip. Generally, we take 8 or 9 people. This year, I have no less than 14, including a TV producer coming along.
OK, well, I want to find out why, because there's a good cause behind this. You're going to donate the scooters, basically, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We take them out to Bansang Hospital, where they're donated to the hospital itself for use by staff. Can I read you a very short extract that from an email that I received after our first trip?
Yeah.
Today, the blood recruiting officer had collected 27 pints of blood from voluntary donors over a wide area. This important activity could not be possible without the use of the scooters. Just after they returned, they found a pregnant woman who was referred with a hemoglobin level of 2.3. Without this blood, this woman and her baby would most certainly have died, as the hospital blood bank was empty. If this had happened, her other children would have been orphaned, putting more strain on their local community in caring for them. And frankly, this scenario happens every day,
well,
the man sang.
There clearly couldn't be a more worthy cause. Let's talk about this journey. So tell me about the route.
Well, the route takes us initially across Spain, which is in some ways one of the hardest part because the temperature at this time of year is very cold. We have long, straight, boring roads. We then travel through Morocco. We meander a little bit through Morocco because most of the people on the trip will never have been before. We head out for the coast. We hit the coast at about Tantan. And from there, it's basically straight down the Atlantic coast through what is still the war zone of Western Sahara, into Mauritania, that the Foreign Office advice is quite unequivocal, don't go. We cross into Senegal, travel right across Senegal. We enter Gambia about 100 miles from the coast, basically turn left and head another 100 miles up into the bush.
And how many hours a day are you going to be in the saddle?
It varies greatly. On average, it's going to be about 8 or 9 hours. On days where we've had issues, could be up to 12, 14 hours a day.
And what about the conditions? Because, I mean, you've been before. What's the Sahara like to cross?
The Sahara itself, from where we go across, is not too bad. At this time of year, temperatures are relatively low. The highest we had on the last trip, which was also March, was just over 40 degrees.
I mean, you will be risking kidnap and crossing a minefield. I mean, as you say, the Foreign Office are rather keen people don't go on this kind of journey. I mean, you are taking your life in your hands a bit, aren't you?
To a certain degree, yes, although it's probably no more risky than a night out in Wine Street in Swansea on a Friday or Saturday night. This time we will be taking the peace route through Mauritania, which keeps us a little bit more hidden. One of the problems is there's only one main road that runs right through Mauritania, and that's where the rebels tend to strike.
And how long is this going to take, this journey?
Start to finish to actually arriving in Bansang is, as near as damn it, 21 days. It takes us 3 weeks to ride down. We then spend 2 or 3 days actually working at the hospital before we head back to Banjul for the airport and the flight home.
And you have been doing this years. I mean, you've never had any trouble so far, have you? You've never been attacked or robbed?
No, I mean, this is the bizarre thing with many of these places that you go to. You hear all the bad stories, but it's only bad news that makes the news. We're only ever welcomed with kindness and hospitality by everybody that we meet en route. We have a wonderful time.
And what do people make of these barking motorbikers from Britain?
Well, about that, really. As I said to somebody recently, you've got to be completely barking mad to even think about going.
And why these particular bikes? Because they don't make them anymore, do they?
They don't. Honda, in fact, stopped making them. I think it was 1996. But prior to that, they made something like 60 million of these bikes. The Honda C series, the 90s, the 50s, are the biggest selling motorbike that has ever been produced.
So when they get to Africa, it shouldn't be too much of a big deal if some years down the line they conk out, because you should be able to get spare parts relatively easily.
Yes, I mean, they're actually incredibly reliable. We have 20 of the bikes working in Bansang at the moment. We've only lost two over the years through engine failure. One thing we're doing this year is a little bit different. We're actually taking four Chinese replicas with us. Now, whether they make it remains to be seen.
And you've got a bit of backup, haven't you? You've got a truck following you as well.
Yes, we have. We've got an old Mitsubishi Shogun coming along with us, together with an XWD 3/4-ton trailer on it. In fact, our film producer's actually going to be travelling in the backup truck with us.
You've got to cross the border with Senegal, haven't you? I mean, that's not for the faint-hearted.
No, that's the toughie. Again, we're hoping that this year we may well have a fixer at meeting us at the border. Turns out that we have a contact who is the mayor, ex-mayor of St. Louis, just the other side of the border. But generally, there's a lot of corruption and problems on the Senegalese border. It costs us something like £1,000 to get from the border down to St. Louis.
And you've done this before. When you get there, what kind of reaction do you get?
Actually, at Bansang, the reaction is incredible. The whole town turns out to welcome us. Normally, there's drums and dancing, and it's the most incredible scene.
And as you say, you know firsthand what kind of difference this kind of effort can make to people's lives. I mean, it can save lives.
It can, and it does. I mean, the hospital was picked up by Anita Smith from the Bansang Hospital Appeal way back in 92 after her first ever trip out there. Anita is one of the most charismatic and amazing characters you will ever meet. And she just inspires people all the way down the line. The difference she has made there to the lives of the local people is just incalculable.
And who are your fellow bikers? Who else is coming with you? Give us an idea of what they do, where they're from.
Well, we have a very diverse crew. We have Mike and Sue White from London. Mike is actually a dentist with a practice in St. James's in London. He's going to be doing some dental work out there, probably actually out in the villages. We have two nurses along this time. We have Nadine, who is our youngest participant at 26. She's a intensive care nurse, and Carolyn, who also is in nursing. And then we have all sorts of other people in terms of mechanics, people that can do plumbing, electrical work, and myself, who really just goes along for the ride, if I'm honest.
Well, Carmarthen will seem a bit quiet after a journey like this, I guess.
Yes, I think that's very true. It's a little bit cliche to say it, but it does change people's lives. You cannot come back from a trip like this with the same outlook on life that you set off with. People, particularly today, are worried about their futures and austerity and lack of money and all the rest of it. When you go to somewhere like Bansang, you really understand what having nothing means.
I've been to Gambia, and I went years ago, and it was the first time I'd ever been to Africa, and I remember the shock of the darkness, if that doesn't sound a silly thing. If you'd grown up in a country that has reliable electric lights and street lights, just the shock of darkness for the first time was enormous.
Yes, it is. I mean, one of the bizarre things, in fact, when I went back last year, was that they have just installed electricity in Bansang. It's not actually on 24/7, far from it. But to actually walk into Bansang in the evening and actually see light bulbs burning was quite bizarre, because, as you say, generally these villages, it is absolutely pitch black, the only illumination being the moon and the stars, which is in many ways wonderful.
And this is such a world away from your day job, because you were a printer, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was managing director of Just Print in Carmarthen for many years. I actually retired Christmas before last, had a few tough years, and decided it was time to do something else with my life.
So you're clearly putting your feet up and taking it easy then?
I wouldn't go quite as far as to say that. This one's been quite a headache to arrange because of so many people, although I must say the team of people I have on this particular trip have been absolutely amazing. The way they have banded together, the way they have helped with just about every aspect of the organisation.
Dennis, we'll be watching with great interest and wish you every success on the journey. You can find out much more about the project at the website, which is scootersinthesahara.co.uk. And my thanks this morning to Dennis Robinson in our Carmarthen studio.